We had two opinions about the sin of Israel. One was Nenu Misudasa Shalosa Rosha, and the first one to know why was that such a severe sin. Even if they would have eaten non-kosher food, and there's no indication that they did, it's only a Nisr Lav. And the Medrash in Esther offers the following explanation, that Haman gave the Eitzah, She'al Yidei She'ochlu V'yishtu Yachtio Sov V'gili Arayas, that they'll start eating and drinking and ultimately they'll come to Gili Arayas. And that's what Shti, of course, intoxication could influence. And therefore, since the goal of this banquet was Gili Arayas, therefore it was a very severe violation for the Jewish people to participate in that banquet. And when it says Nenu Misudasa, it doesn't say Achlu Misudasa. It's a remez that as a result of the Achila, Bole Averos Achiros. Now, I don't know if they actually violated these other Averos, and the Gemara is only using a kind of an edel euphemism language, or just the fact they participated, it's almost like a Havamina, and that for that they get punished. Now, there's a book called Rosh Yosef, and he writes that Efsha Shahayu Macholim Chela Vidam. He says that it's possible that amongst the food that they ate, there was Chela Vidam, both of which generate a Chi of Karis. And that's why Nigzor Aleihem Misa. They offer another pshat that even if there were no Macholas Asuras, the very participation in the Mishnah was a Chil Hashem, an Aver of Chil Hashem. Because after all, Achashverosh decided to make this party to show his simcha when he made the cheshbon in the 70 years past, and there will not be a rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. So for them to participate in that is a real Chil Hashem. Then he quotes a book called the Sifsei Chachamim, and that day was Yom Ido Shel Achashverosh. In other words, that day was a day dedicated to celebrate Avodah Zorah. Ulekach shenenu misudas shel shrasha, it was Avizrayu Avodah Zorah. So again, there are a number of different interpretations. I mean, the one that sits best with me is the one that has to do with the Beis Hamikdash. That, you know, this was almost an act of self-hating Jews that they would participate in such a seuda.
In the Beis Hamikdash is important, and in the Megillah for sure.
Right, we see it all the time. That's the background to the Megillah is the story of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe we have another minute or two to add something else. He says the following, that if it's Nenu Misudaso, maybe, and that's where the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai objected to this pshat. He said maybe God should have brought about a punishment for the Shushanites who participated in the Suda, but not all the Jews that would suffer this gzera. There were 180 days of celebration for all the Medinos. The Gemara assumes that, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai assumes that the Jews of all the other Medinos outside of Shushan did not participate. And he says that the Targum on Megillah seems to indicate this, that the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, was prepared for the Malachim and the Sarim, and there were Chashuve Yisrael there, but they were not Nena Misudazu. On the contrary, Heyomoy Bochim Umisablim Alachurban, Bera Osam Esclaim Migdash Hagzulim Biyad HaRelim. That's what the Targum claims. And it also seems from the Targum that the second Mishnah, which was prepared for the Bnei Shushan, was primarily for the Jews, in order to be machti them in order to have them mixed together with the goyim. Now the Gemara says at the end that the Avera that caused this whole terrible catastrophic gzeira was Hishtachu L'Tzelem. What about the fact that they were Mishtachave to Haman? Rashi says this was the Tzelem that Hatziv Nebuchadnezzar Bebikas Dura V'Tzival Kol B'nei Ha'umas L'Shtachav Oslo, and only Chanani Mishal V'Azariah were Moser Nefesh, they didn't comply. The Marsha writes, what about the Ishtachva Lahaman? It seems that only Mordechai was the one who abstained, who prevented himself from participating in this Ishtachva, but the rest of the Jewish people did. So he says the following, Lo asoach Hashverish Haman aloha, el etzivel Ishtachvos lo mipnei kavod bilvad. He says that the Ishtachva to Haman was not an act of Avodah Zarah, but it was only an act of Kavod. Now, he says that this doesn't square with the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam in Ksubis, who says that the Tzelem that the Nebuchadnezzar set up was nothing more than a statue, L'Kvod HaMelech. And nevertheless, in order to avoid bowing down to a statue, L'Kvod HaMelech, Chanani, Mishael, and Azariah are willing to give up their lives. And that's Kiddush Hashem. So wouldn't you have said the same thing Shehu Adin should apply, that the Jewish people should not bow down to Haman, even if it's only L'Kavod? It should be like the statue of Nebuchadnezzar with Kiddush Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem should kick in here. How are you, Moshe? So at the end, he says, in the name of the Marsha, Lo rotza Rashi lefarish al mashish tachvu lahamadim keng tafsa kushus from Shimbar Yochai l'talmidov al divrei atzma. If it was the fact that they bowed down to Haman, and that's the reason that caused the gzera, then we have the same question all over again. That was only the Jews of Shushan. We don't know that the Jews outside of Shushan bowed down to Haman. Okay, we're ready to go. We now are on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we're studying the pasuk that mentions the names of the officers in Achashverosh's court. Achashverosh took counsel with a whole list of people whose names are mentioned in the Megillah, in order to determine whether or not he should kill Vashti. So the Gemara says that Omar Ablevi call a pasuk hazeh, let's read the whole pasuk, Vakarov Elov, Karshina Shesar Admasa Tarshish. And if you notice, I said it in Shema Achas. That was just a joke anyway. Al Shum Karbonos Nema. Hakarov, the word Hakarov, is Lashon Hakrovas Karbon. And now what's going on is that the Malachi Asharis, according to Chazal, are standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod, pleading on behalf of the Jewish people, and demonstrating in a very profound way the contrast between the Jews and the non-Jews. The Jews bring Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Goyim never do such a thing. So that's number one, Hakarov Elov. And all this is a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should decide that Vashti should be beheaded, she should be killed, because she is the granddaughter of the Nebuchadnezzar, who was Macher of the Beis HaMikdash. She was Mevatel the Avodas HaKarbonos. And now it makes sense for God to judge Vashti, and again, all her other personal sins. She was a Rishayis, a Marshaz. And Karshana is referring to Karim B'nei Shana. These are lambs that are 1 year old that are brought as karbonos. Omer Malachi Hashem Tznei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalom, Chlum Hikrivu Lufanecha, to the kings of Bavel, bring Karim B'nei Shana, Kedev Shekrivu Yisrael Lufanecha, Sheisar, Chlum Hikrivu Lufanecha, Shtei Torim, So there's a whole parasha of Vayikra about the Shtei Torim, the two turtle doves that have to be brought as a korban in many different situations. That's called Shesar. Shesar, if you take it apart into two words, is Shtei Torim. So the tough goes both Le'el Milorah, meaning it goes back to Shtei and it goes also to Torim. Tarshish, based on a pasuk at the end of Shmos, is an allusion to the Big Day Kahuna. So the Malachi HaShoyis is saying in front of the Ribono Shalom, Klum Shimshu Lefanecha, to the kings of Babel, have any service but Big Day Kahuna, to Ksivbehu. As it says regarding the Avnei Shoen on the Big Day Kohen, it says Tarshish V'Shoam V'Yashpe. Then the last name here on this list, the two more names is Meres and Marsana. Meres is Mirsu. Mirsu means when they were Makabal the Dam in a Klisharis in a Mizrak, they had to continuously stir it up, because if the blood would congeal, it was Pasul Izrika. And that's the remnancy of the word Meres, Memares. You may remember this from the Avoda, the coming of Yom HaKippur, which we recite in the Piyut on Yom Kippur. B'dam lefanecha. Marsana, klum mersu b'menachos lefanecha. So Marsana is a reference to the menachos that Klal Yisrael were magisim ubolulim es ha-menachos lefnei hakravasam. There's a mitzvah blila with regard to the menachos. So this is indicated by the word Marsana. He says the following in the footnote. He says that blila b'menachos hi chashuva shehi tikun ha-mincha. So this is a major part of a korban mincha. And with regard to the other korbanos, which are korbanos of zrikas dam, is the word merus is applicable.
What does the word merus mean?
Merus means stirring. Maras or merus.
Same root.
It's the same root of meres and mares. Now the last fellow on the list is memuchan. And the Gemara is going to say in a minute that the very fact that his name is less means that he was the lowest of the, he was the boor of the group. But what is the indication in the word memuchan? Muchan is milosh nachana, they prepared something. Now usually when you prepare something, you prepare a table. Klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha. This is a reference to the shulchan azav that stood in the heichal, and that's where they were makriv karbonos. And once again, this is the difference, the contrast between the Jewish nation and the nations of the world. So therefore, Hashem, you should have compassion on the Jewish people and bring about a Yeshua through the death of Vashti and a replacement by Esther. The next pasuk says the following, Vayomer memuchan, and then it says, Lifnei amelech v'asorim. In other words, here, Ahasuerus is taking counsel with a whole list of Sarim, and who's the one on the end of the list? His name is Memuchan. And yet he's the one who pipes up with an answer. Vayomer Memuchan. You know, the other Sarim were quiet. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Memuchan ze Haman, v'lama nikrishmo Memuchan, shemuchan lipuranos. So Muchan means that he's prepared, he's designated for destruction. Now, I'm not sure.
Rashi says Talui.
Yeah, Rashi gives you one shot, but I'm just going to try to suggest another alternative here. I'm not coming to argue with Rashi. Rashi's learning that he himself was Muchan Lepronis. In other words, that Hama would eventually be hung up on the tree. But it could be that in this context, since Muchan or Haman is going to give the Eitzah to kill Vashti, maybe the words Muchan Lepronis are referring to Vashti. That he's going to bring about the Peronis of Vashti, her death. Amar Rav Kahana Mikan, from here we learn, this is a psychological rule, Shahedyot Kofetz Perosh, that the lowest person on the group is the first one to jump up and give the Eitzah. Instead of having a little sense of humility and let the Gedolim, the more important people, respond first, you'll find very often that the one who pipes up is the one who knows nothing. That's why when I was in the Salvation's class, you know, we were very inhibited about answering his questions, because, you know, let's say there were 100 guys in the shiur, I'm just rounding it off, I think there were more, and some of them were real gedolim, many of them are famous names, and so you want to say something, but you're embarrassed, you know, to say something in front of the gedolim, but The truth is that the hedgehog normally has this idea. He thinks he's so full of himself that he jumps to give the answer first. So it's Haman who gives the answer. Now the pasuk says, "Vayishlach svarim el kol medinos hamelach." Yesh medrash shahaya Daniel lefishaya nasui le sarit shahaisa gedola bimenu shlohaya yachal lechofa ledor. I'll have to go over this more, but I didn't see that Tosus. I'm working so hard on plowing through this Gemara, I didn't get a chance to look in Tosus.
It says, just a question. It says in Muhan was one of the like Yotzim of the king.
Right.
If you'll take a look at the Megillah, once Vashti is dead, every time the king needed advice, he goes to the Narei HaMelech. These guys all disappear. He lists them off in the first parak. This guy. And then when he goes to Yoetz again, they call him Narei HaMelech. He switches out his cabinet.
Maybe regretted, according to the.
I'm not saying what his feeling was, but they're all gone. They're all gone. He's advice Narei HaMelech. It comes up a couple times.
This relates to
Vayishlach Svarim El Kol Medinos HaMelech.
Maybe it's here, maybe it's not.
This is what you call in Yiddish a galechter. This is a joke. He sends out letters to everybody in all the Medinos that the male, the man, the husband should rule over his wife. Oh my Rava, why is this such an integral part of the story of Megillah, this whole stupidity? And the answer is because Ilmoli, if not for that stupidity of the Igros or Rishonos, these are the first letters that Achashverosh sends out. Lo nishtayer misoneim shel Yisrael sorer upolit. We never would have been able to survive the Gzera of Haman. Why? Because when the second set of letters came out, meaning the letters to destroy the Jewish people, then if not for the first set of letters, then the second set of letters alone would have had power. The people would have immediately, out of their hatred to the Jew, got up without even waiting and destroyed the Jewish people. They wouldn't wait until Yud Gimel Ba'adar. Why? Because they hated the Jewish people. So there would not be a possibility of being Mevatel L'Gzeir. It would have been too late. It would have been the catastrophe would have been behind us already. But what's the Nafochu here? The fact that they got these letters, the first set of letters, and they realized this man is crazy. Amri. So the Bnei Amedinos, when they receive these letters, they say, Maihi, what kind of stupidity is this? This sorry, this Shadilon, he's sending us an Igeres that says, Leo's called Ish Sorir Bebeso? I need a Gzera from the Melech to tell me that I should rule in my house? That's a Milsa de Pshita. Pshiti. Why? Afilu Karcha. Karcha is indicative of the Shafel Sheba Noshim. Some say it's a weaver, but anyway, it's the lowest. It's nevertheless Bebeso Parshishahab. Pardash Chahavi. He still rules his house with authority. So therefore, the Bnei Amedinos, when they receive this first letter, they realize they're dealing with a very foolish person. And therefore, when they got the second letter, which would have normally given them the means to kill, to destroy the Jewish people, they didn't take it seriously. And they thought, maybe we better wait for a while and see what's coming around the bend. Maybe Achashverosh will rescind and revoke these last letters, because the first letters were... The man is not rational. He's not reliable. So it turns out that these first letters, which again are the laughable, is Leo's Kalisha, was what ultimately caused and set the foundation or the framework for the salvation of the Jewish people. Okay, now we get to the next stage. Vashti has been taken out of the picture, and Shachach Hamas Shel Achashverosh, and now the Yoatzim, as you called them before, Moshe, the Narei HaMelech, they now tell Achashverosh it's time to find a replacement, a Naira Besula Thomas Mara. So what was his response? Achashverosh says, Yafked HaMelech, this is still the Narim speaking, Yafked HaMelech Pekidim, set up offices in every single Medina, and let them gather together every Nara Besula who's beautiful, again, I don't know who was in charge of the beauty contest, and bring them to Shushan HaBira. Omar Rav. Rav now darshins a pasuk in Mishle. My ditziv, what does the pasuk mean when it says kol orum? Orum is somebody who has wisdom or prudent. Yase b'das, he acts with knowledge. But the conscious is the ksil. The ksil, I translate ksil as cynic. I don't know what you have there, because the whole of Mishle is a critique on the ksilim. Anyway, a ksil is a fool or a cynic. Yifros ivelis. You know, yifros means he spreads out his silliness. His ivelis is his folly. And the Gemara wants to say that half of this pasuk, the first half, which is praising the Arum, because he acts out of das, the Arum is a prudent person, is a reference to David HaMelech, and the second half of the pasuk, of the ksil yifros ivelis, that's a reference to Achashverosh. Kol Arum yaseh b'das zed David. David wanted to find a girl to warm him up in his older age. And the ksiv, with regard to David, when he wanted to find a suitable girl in his older age, it says, Vayomalo avadov, yevakshu ladoni amelech, naro besua. Let's just find one nara. We're not going to take every single girl in the entire kingdom. And we'll see what Achashverosh was going to do with each one of these girls. It's koma dahavile barta, I see niale. You know, here was an opportunity to have a girl, you know, be close, or maybe even be a some sort of a marriage partner with David HaMelech. So each person actually flocked, you know, and responded eagerly to this opportunity. Maybe he could marry off his daughter to David HaMelech. But Ksil Yifros, Yivelez Achashverosh, he wanted to bring all the naros, and he would choose one of them. Ksil, Kiksil, V'afkeid, Avel, P'kidim, V'chol, Medinas, Malchus, Yikvitzu, Kol, Naro, Naro, Kol, Manda, Havile, Barato, Itmira, Mine. Anyone who had a daughter tried to hide her so that the P'kidim, Avel, would not take her, because they knew, it was clear to them that Achashverosh, when he would take a girl and try, you know, in order to decide whether to marry or not, he would first have, he would violate her. The only one that didn't happen to was the one he chose, and that's Esther, which we're going to get to later on. Now the Gemara enters into a whole question here about the yichus of Mordechai. Ish Yudi Ayav Shushana Biro Shmo Mordechai, with all the names, and then it says Ish Yimini. Now Ish Yehudi implies that he came from Shevet Yehuda. Ish Yimini implies that he came from Shevet Binyamin. So which one will it have? It, unless it's a father and mother situation. But right now the Gemara doesn't assume so. My Ka'amah, what does the Pasuk mean? Now furthermore, the Pasuk also goes through a whole chain of his ancestors. It says, Ben Yair, Ben Shim'i, Ben Kish.
Ish Yimini.
Right, so there are basically three names of ancestors. You're going back to his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. But in truth, the Gemara knows that this is not really his genealogical parenthood. Certainly not Kish. Kish lived much, much earlier. Eli Yichus HaKasi, if this is really Yichus, is Liachse Vioze? Why do you stop at Kish? You know, you want to tell me that he's an Ish Yimini, you should go all the way back to the ancestors of Kish, who Ad Binyamin, all the way back to Binyamin. Elamaishna Hani, why are these three individuals mentioned? There must be something that's unique, and what's in a name, as we say, right? Over and over again, we're trying to darshan the meaning of a name. So the Gemara goes through these three names, and the Gemara says the following, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kulan al Shmo Nikro, meaning all these names are indicative of Mordechai. And they're all indicative of the power of prayer. To teach us that the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael came through prayer. Ben Yair, what does Yair mean? To lighten up. Ben Sheheir, a name shall Yisrael, bitfiloso. He gave light back to the people of Israel through the power of his tefillah. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshama Kel Tfiloso, that God hearkened to his prayers. Ben Kish, Shehikish, he knocks on the Shari Rachamim that were locked at the time of the Gzeirah, and through his tefillah niftachu lo, the Sha'arim, the gates of heaven, the gates of prayer were opened in front of him. Kari le Yehudi Alma Yehuda Kasi, mi Yehuda Kasi. Kari le Yemini Ish Yemini Alma Binyamin Kasi. How do we reconcile? Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that the word Yehudi here doesn't mean what we think it means. It doesn't mean that he stams from Yehuda, from Shevet Yehuda, but rather Mordechai Muchtar Binimuso Hoya. Now Muchtar means he was crowned. What's Nimuso? So I have here in a footnote that Nimus, Rashi says, is a Greek word and it means shame. So he was adorned with many names. I guess these various names that are mentioned here, which means Yemini and Yehudi, are indicative of the adornment, so to speak. They indicate how unique of a personality Mordechai is. Now, there's another interpretation of the word Nimus here, and it means Tiferes. Tiferes is glory or splendor. And he, Mordechai, is called Yehudi Miloshim Gedula. It's a language which indicates his greatness. So it has nothing to do with the fact that he comes from Shevet Yehuda. I have another note here in the name of the Manos HaLevi. He says that Shem Zer, this name Yehudi, is indicative Shumore al Malucha, because Yehuda was designated as the Shevet of Malucha, and Mordechai represents a personality of kingship. He's going to become almost the king. Omar Rav Baruch Hanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he wants to take this literally, that the word Yehudi means that he comes from Shevet Yehuda, Aviv mi Binyamin, ve'imo mi Yehuda. So he's got yichus on both sides. For Rabbanan Amri, that Mordechai came from Shevet Binyamin, but mishpachos misgaros zu bezu. What the Megillah wants to indicate was that everybody wanted to claim Binyamin for themselves. Mordechai for themselves, and the mishpachos of Yehuda, the mishpachos of Binyamin were in a tug of war situation. Mishpachas Yehuda meres ano garim dimisyali Mordechai. It was our ancestors that brought about the birth, that were responsible for the birth of Mordechai. Gorim means to be gorim, to be the cause. The Lokatli David, our great grandfather David HaMelech, did not put Shimi ben Gera to death. And as a result of the fact that David spared the life of Shimi ben Gera in Sefer Shmuel, he was a person who actually was Makalel the Melech, and he really deserved to die at the end on his deathbed. David gave a legacy to Shlomo, that Shlomo should wait until after Shimi ben Gera finishes having children and then put him to death, in order that Shimi ben Gera should be miskaper, that he should have the atonement of Misa for his terrible sin of cursing the king. But it was very important for David HaMelech that first Shimi ben Gera should have his children, because David HaMelech saw Beruach HaKodesh that one of the descendants of Shimi ben Gera would in fact be Mordechai. So only after the ancestor of Mordechai, who was the son or the offspring of Shimi ben Gera, and that's why the Megillah mentions that Mordechai came from Shimi, only then would Shimi ben Gera be put to death. So by postponing the death sentence of Shimi ben Gera, David was responsible for the ultimate birth of Mordechai, because Mordechai is going to come through this lineage through Shimi. But Mishpachas Binyamin Amra Minai Kasi. But nevertheless, he is a descendant of our. He's genetically a blood relative, and therefore we are considered his father. So he belongs to our Shevet. Rav Amar Knesset Yisrael Amra Leidach Kisa. That this pasuk is really a lot more disappointing than praising Mordechai. It's a negative pasuk, and it casts a negative light on Knesset Yisrael, because when Knesset Yisrael called Mordechai Ish Yehudi Ish Yemini, they were being very, very pejorative. They were being very negative about Mordechai, and then they said the following: Re'u ma osoli Yehudi. Look what Tsar was caused to me by David HaMelech, who comes from Shevet Yehuda, Umashilim li Yemini. And look what Tsar we suffer from Yemini. Yemini is a reference to Shaul HaMelech, who comes from Shevet Binyamin. And now the Gemara clarifies what Rava has in mind. Ma asali, what did David HaMelech do to me, Yehudi, who came from Shevet Yehuda? And now we're on Daf Yud Gimel and Alf Delo Katle David L'Shimi. So as a result of the fact that David had compassion on Shimi, and he wanted to bring about the birth of Mordechai, this Yalid Minei, so that from the offspring of Shimi, Mordechai would be born. And look at what we're suffering from this Jew, this no good Mordechai. Demikani Bey, he provokes Haman, and he refuses to bow down to Haman, and therefore Haman institutes the gzeir against the Jewish people. And what do we get as a result of Shaul HaMelech, the Yemini? Dulokatli Shaul Agag, he didn't put Agag to death. And who do we get from Agag? Desyalid Minei Haman de Mitzar Li Yisrael. So this Gemara really goes Minakotzel Akotz, the two polar extreme opposites.
Right.
Are these names, Yehudi and Yemini, positive or the opposite? If they're positive, then it means that these were two great indications of the greatness of Mordechai, or it could be the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Li Olam, Mi Binyamin Ka'osi, he came from Shevet Binyamin, Vamai Karele Yehudi, Al Shum Shekofar Bavodizorah. Here we're getting an insight into the name of the Jewish people, why we call Jews, why we call Yehudim, Yehudi. And the answer is because the name Yehudi is indicative of Kfir of Avodah Zarah. And the Mepharshim say, because if you take the word Yehuda and I don't know exactly how this works. Anyway, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, let's just see. Okay. Yehuda. Oh, yeah, because there's a Hey at the end. Right? The word Yehuda has Yud, Hey, Vav, and then it has Dalet, and then a Hey. So if you take out the Dalet, you have Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you have the four letters of God's name in the word Yehuda. And Yehuda means we believe in God, and therefore we deny Avodah Zarah. And here the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. When the Kazdim came to tattletale in front of Nebuchadnezzar and complain about the Jews that they refused to bow down to the Avodah Zarah, is Isay Guvrin Yehudoim. And there were three Guvrin Yehudoim, Jewish men, and this is a reference to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they're called Yehudoim because, as the pasuk ends, Elohach lofolchin, to your God they don't worship, ulitzelim dahavan, to your gold idol, lo sogdin, they refuse to bow down. And why does the pasuk go out of its way to indicate that these were Yehudim? Mm-hmm. Because they refused to bow down to Avodah Zarah.
Yehudim, we call it Jewish. Right? And maybe it's more proper today to say Judeans.
Judeans, yeah.
You know, because we've marginalized ourselves to religion when really we're a nation.
Right. You know, under the Soviets, a Jewish passport would have on it, I forget exactly how they pronounce it in Russian, but basically that he's a Jew. I don't know how to say it in Russian. I used to know, but I forgot.
Yeah, they consider it a nationality.
Historically,
in Europe, that was how they always.
Rav Shimon ben Pazi, ki havi posach b'divrei hayomim. So it seems that Rav Shimon ben Pazi was the darshan of divrei hayomim, and the reason why the Gemara is quoting this is because the Gemara wants to indicate here that he had an insight into the name Yehudi. Pasach b'divrei hayomim, Omar Hachi, kol dvarecha echad hem. In other words, there are many, many names that are listed in this book of divrei hayomim, and they all refer to one person, but he had many different names. But the Anu Yodim Lidarsham, but we know what remez is indicated by each one of these names. So what pasuk is he referring to? It says Vishto Hayehudiya Yolda es Yered Avi Gidar, Veshever Avi Socho, Vesikusil Avi Zanoach, Vi Eli Bnei Basya or Bisya Basparo Asher Lokach Mered. So Rav Shimon Parsi darshins that when it says Ishto HaYehudia here, it's a reference to Basya or Bisya Basparo, Shenizkar Shma B'Sof HaPasuk, her name appears at the end of this Pasuk. So again, even though at the beginning of the Pasuk it calls her Ishto HaYehudia, but her name is actually spelled out at the end of the Pasuk. And the Pasuk describes her as if she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'amai kari la Yehudia. Why is she called Yehudia? After all, she was a mitzris. She was the basparo. Al shum she kafra b'avodah zarah. And anyone who denies avodah zarah is called a Yehudi. And the Gemara asks the following question, or answers the following question. How do we know that she denied avodah zarah? Tichsiv Vatered basparo lirchots al hayor. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to interpret why was she, and then why did the Torah, Lenetzach Netzach, has to tell us why she went down to the or, to bathe herself. The answer is she yarda lirchots migilule beis aviha. Now, in the footnote, he says that according to Rashi, this phrase, yarda lirchots, is actually Tvilas Gerus. And in Mirtz Hashem, I want to go through another bunch of commentaries here back in the Yalkut HaBiurim, in the Masifta, because as the Parshas Drachim points out, this is a very difficult concept to talk about Gerus before Matan Torah. No. What's the concept of Gerus before Matan Torah? So some say that maybe Rashi doesn't mean gerus in the strict sense, or maybe there is such a thing as partial gerus before Matan Torah. Others want to suggest that what the Gemara has in mind here is migilule beis avia. She did not really undergo a full-fledged gerus, no. But she rejected avodah zarah. Now, when a person rejects something that's antithetical to Judaism, it seems, again, I'm not... Don't take me, you know, literally on this, but it seems that he should actually be tovel. So I don't know. I'm wondering if a Baal Tshuva, according to this, maybe should be tovel in a mikvah. I don't know. Yolda. Now, how could it be that Bisya Basparo could be considered Yolda? I mean, she didn't give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vaha Ribuye Rabise, at the best you can say that she raised him, at least in his youth, or she supervised his growth. Lomar Lacha, this teaches us Kalamagadil Yosom Viyasoma Besof Beso Malav Akasu Kili Yolda.
That's right. You can do it without
the Kamala. If someone raises a child who doesn't have parents, then it's considered as if they were the maternal or paternal father or mother of this child. Now, when I see this Gemara, I think it's what you call a classic agadata. This is just a philosophical idea. But Rav Shlomo Kluger in a tshuva, I'm just mentioning this in passing because it's very fascinating, he says that you should take this Gemara as a halachic statement. What halacha would apply here? And he says that if a person, Nebuch, doesn't have children, then he should adopt a yosom, and that's his mitzvah of piri v'rivi. Why? It's because ki'ilu yoldo. And basically he evolves a whole theory of two different categories of piri v'rivi, both of which are fulfillment of this mitzvah. One is on a biological level, and the other is on a more spiritual level, but it's also a fulfillment of piri v'rivi. And it's interesting because he quotes the pasuk, at the beginning of Toldos, it says, Eilid Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram, holid is Yitzchak. And if you look at the Ibn Ezra says, holid means Gidel is Yitzchak. So there are two types of fatherhood. The first part of the fatherhood is ben Avram. Ben Avram means he's the biological son of Avram. But Avram is the father of Yitzchak for another reason. Why? Because the way the Ibn Ezra interprets it Avraham Holiness Yitzchak means Gidelis Yitzchak. The fact that he gave him a spiritual upbringing and an education, that itself makes him a father. So fatherhood really divides into two categories. There's biological fatherhood and there's spiritual fatherhood. And Rav Shlomo Kluge took this pretty seriously.
With any adoption, raising anybody spiritually, or is it only when you're? It seems to be only when you're raising somebody who's an orphan who doesn't have a parent to raise them.
I would say anyone who doesn't have a parent. In other words, if there's no one there to raise them, then you become the parent.
I know a guy.
And you fill that in.
He lives in Toronto. He fostered. He lives here now, but he fostered three kids. And he refers to them as his own.
Sure. And legally, it's probably his own children. Well, I don't know.
It's not legally.
I don't want to get into that.
But he raised them.
But you know that this is typical when they take a non-Jewish child and then Megayrim El Das Bezdin. Now, in the back here, I wanted to point out something. He says the following. The Ramban... How much time do we have? I'm just going to try to time myself. We have about 6 minutes, let's say?
6-7 minutes, yeah.
6-7 minutes. The Ramban wants to know the following. How is it that Ahasuerus missed the point, missed the boat, so to speak? What do I mean? Hiksha Ramban. Kevin Sharoa Ahasuerus Belshazzar Nenash. Ahasuerus was very well aware of the fact that Belshazzar was killed on the very night that he took out the Kelim or the Beis Hamikdash. Hayolo Lahavin, She Yisrael Asinim Li Goel, She Nevuas Yirmiyah Nevuas Emes, Uma Yoelo Acheshbon, Hare Sof Sof Yagiyaz Man Lekirma Nevuah, Vegam Huye Onesh Yishtamesh Beklei Hamikdash. Umitarz Ramban, Shaomer Achashverosh Kach, Bilshazar Mona Vitov Venenash, Mishum Shabiyomov, Hoyu Asidim Lipoked, Kinevuas Yirmiya. That at the time of Belshazzar, the divine will was such that the Nevu of Yirmiya would come to fruition. Ube Emes, Olubime Koresh, they came on Aliyat Eretz Yisrael, Viniskaima Pgidoson, and this was a kiyum of the Pgida that Hashem remembered the Jewish people. But once that happened, Me'ata V'Hola, Ani Emne Es HaMinyan, I'll calculate the correct minyan, V'Era, and I'm going to see in TLM Pgida Nosefes. In other words, part of Achashverosh's analysis, according to the Ramban, is that there would be one Pekida, and there might not be a second Pekida. In other words, Hashem would allow the Jewish people to resettle the land of Israel, but that's the end of it. As far as the Beis Hamikdash is concerned, that part of the Nevuah would not be fulfilled. And what led Ahasuerus to that conclusion? He thought he had the right calculation. So again, according to the Ramban, there are two aspects over here to the thinking of Ahasuerus. One aspect was his calculation, and he thought that his calculation was more accurate than that of Belshazzar, but that's not the whole story. The other part of the story is that he thought that at the time of Belshazzar there was a Nevuah of Yirmiyah, and it actually came to fruition the time that Koresh let the people come back to Israel. So that's one thing that I wanted to share with you that I thought was important. And again, I just want to reiterate what John and I were talking about before. What was so severe about... This was the Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai, that the chait of Klal Yisrael was Nenu Misudas Shalos Rasha. And we quoted a Rosh Yosef, which if I'm not mistaken, it's the same author as we know him as the Prima Gadim. And he writes the following. He says, Afilu Imlo Ochlu Macholas Asuros, Because again, his first pshat was maybe they ate chalev and they ate dam, and then that was a chiyuv kares, and therefore they had to be destroyed. But he says, even if you don't agree with me and say the whole banquet was glad kosher, why is this chil Hashem? Sheikar asuda osach hashverish laharos simcha. The whole raison d'etre, the whole purpose, the whole push for this party was to celebrate that the Beis HaMikdash would not be rebuilt, and that Jews should participate in this party. That's Chilul Hashem. And we discussed yesterday that Chilul Hashem is such a severe avera that you need Misa to be mechaper. Even Tshuva is not enough. Okay. Now, he has a whole long discussion here about this chet of Hishtafu Litzelem. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it wasn't really an Avodah Zorah, it was an Andarta Shel Nevuchadnetzar. And it was only Lichvodo. So the Shtachvo here was not, this is my God, but rather, I'm giving respect to the king, and the statue is the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Nimtza, she'ein avon avodah zara, kim shtachlu etzelem zeh. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not really avodah zara. It's only kavod hamelech, it's not elohus.
Wouldn't it be Nebuchadnezzar, or would it be Ahasuerus? I mean, why would Ahasuerus have Nebuchadnezzar? Why would he just have one of himself? He seems like the guy would more have a statue of himself.
You're asking a question on Ahasuerus or on Nebuchadnezzar?
But I thought the Avodah Zarah, is it that the Mishnah we're talking about? Or?
No. The Gemara asks, what was the decree? What was the sin of Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara says that back in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they worshipped Tzelem. So most of the Rishonim say that Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden idol, and the Jews worshipped the idol. But Rabbi Tam says, no, this wasn't a Tzelem of Avodah Zarah. This was an Andarta. This was only a statue, Lichvod Nebuchadnezzar. So the obvious question is, why is that Avodah Zarah? Why would they be in violation of a Yehari Val Yava or a capital crime? So Rabbi Tam says the following. Just a second. Okay, it's a long piece. He says the following, and by the way, he beefs up the same question by saying, why did Hanani, Mishael, and Azari give, they were willing to give up their life and rather than be mishtaf if it's not really Avodah Zarah. Oh. So he says the following, Mikol makom, poyutzrichim limsar atzmam, they should have given up their lives in the case of the Andarta of Nebuchadnezzar, olivrach, or find some way of hishtamtut, as we call it in Tzahal, of getting out, you know. Kideshlo yiroe, it shouldn't appear ki ilu mishtachim l'avodah zara. I thought this would support what I said in the name of the Rav, based on the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot. I still have owe you. I have to find it inside. Shlo yira ki ilu mishtachim l'avodah zara, because that would be a chil shem shamayim. In other words, the onlooker might think that they were actually bowing down to this idol. You have to know a lot about idolatry to appreciate what was going on over here. He says, "Lefi zeh ma sha'omru lehem Rav Shimon bar Yochai l'talmida, omar lehem Rav Shimon, heim lo osu el lefnim." In other words, why did Hashem show favoritism and at the end he saved the Jewish people? Why do they deserve to be spared? And the answer was Rav Shimon bar Yochai lo osu el lefnim, and only on the outside. Klomar shebe emes lo ishtap lo avodah zara klal el andarta shel melech el lemare einayim, on the external on externalities it looked like nira kibu mishtap lo avodah zara lechem di emes lo niskayim behem akzera, they were not destroyed, but nasel em nes v'nitzol. So all this has to do with the way it appeared to the onlooker. Okay then, Rabosai. So we'll stop here, and I'll take this opportunity to thank everyone for a great week. You really accomplished a great deal. And thank you for that, and have a wonderful Shabbos.